Bertie Pratt Show, Positively Healthy, and I'm Henry Cuenca, sitting in for her today. I welcome you to my show about passion and inspiration. The focus of my show is seeking those who hold and live passionate, convincing lives. These guests have demonstrated that they live for a cause and hold a steadfast, compelling sense of purpose. In many cases, purposes are driven quietly, subtly, and unseen, but yet cause significant impact to others and society as a whole. This is what my show is all about. Our first guest today is an individual that is driven by a no-excuse philosophy and lives to be an inspiration to others. He is a world-class bike rider, recently being nominated to the Mountain Bike Hall of Fame. Yes, he's from Reading, currently living in Mill Valley, and has had so many falls, spills, and broken bones, he considers himself an equal to Humpty Dumpty and competes internationally between 20 to 30 races a year. Oh, a final point. He's blind. Bobby McMullen, welcome home to Reading and welcome to our show today.
Well, thank you very much. I want to thank you and the station for having me and our other prestigious guests for being here and everybody that helped put this on, and most of all, I want to just say hi to everybody in the viewing audience, and a special hello to my mom and dad, Barb and Marjorie McMullen, who I gave a quick call to say, tune in. And I want to say hi, and I love you guys, and just it's a real privilege to be here. I love Reading, and I love the community, and it's been a huge part of who I am and who I've become to be.
Well, we all embrace you. There's no question, Bobby. You know, you are a very busy guy, world bike racer, international speaker, champion alpine skier, countless TV, radio talk shows. And to be honest, I'm out of breath even beginning to talk about you. So, Bobby, what brings you into to Reading this weekend?
This weekend is my reunion. It's my reunion, my 30th reunion, and I'm quite proud to say that because as I've kidded and laughed about coming up to this date, and actually last night was such a treat with all my classmates from Central Valley High School from 1981, and if anybody's tuning in, I want to salute you all. Had the opportunity to receive a call from Lauren, and you guys were interested in just chatting a little bit about, you know, who I am and how we affect people. And that's something I'm a firm believer in. Mm-hmm. I can't say that, I've ever intended to be in a position like this, in a seat here talking with you or someone in your position to, you know, the way you described it with your lead-in was very powerful, and that sits at home. But I think
That's simply because you're a very powerful person, Bobby, to be really honest with you.
Thank you.
Bobby, can you tell us a little bit of your background? You know, you're born here in Reading, family, young childhood life?
Oh, yeah. Great upbringing. I was born here, 1962, and born and raised in Reading, and I still call Reading my home. Went to St. Joseph's School for 8 years and often graduated to, I went to Nova with many people in the community, and off to Central Valley High School, a stint at Shasta College, and ultimately struggled my way, despite skiing 150 days a year, which was a great excuse for college. Sorry, Mom and Dad. But, you know, I managed to get a degree. And a lot of different changes in my life. Some are very, very powerful.
And one of the most powerful, of course, is your girlfriend, Heidi Souchard, who's with us also this morning. Is that right?
Yes, sir, and powerful is absolutely the right word.
Well, Heidi, we're gonna ask you a few questions as soon as we come back from our very first break, and we really want to learn from you what makes this guy tick about things. So we will be back. This is KCNR 1460, Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
From time to time, we take solemn oaths to make positive changes in our lives. We call them resolutions. Many resolutions require great personal sacrifice. To lose weight, to get in shape, to be friendlier to your in-laws. This time, make a resolution where success is guaranteed. Improve your dental health. It requires no sacrifice, just a phone call to Palisadro Dentistry at 547-5757. Even after years of dental neglect, Dr. William Farrell and his able staff will employ cutting-edge techniques gained over 30 years of professional experience to restore that youthful, charming smile. Anxiety is no longer an impediment to dental health. Palisadro Dentistry specializes in overcoming dentist dread with sedation dentistry. For worry-free dental care, call Palisadro Dentistry today at 547-5757 or visit palisadrodentistry.com. And who knows, with an improved smile, maybe your in-laws will like you better. Special consideration to veterans. Financing available. OAC.
Hi, I'm Assemblymember Jim Nielsen. Last year, California lost more than 28,000 acres of land due to fires, leaving families devastated and causing billions in property damage. If you live in an area prone to fires, protect your family. First, clear an area of 100 feet around your home to reduce flammable vegetation. Also, remove needles and leaves from your roof and gutters, and keep trees trimmed at least 10 feet away. Remember, defensible space is required by law, and most of all, it protects you and your family.
Slow down, you move too fast. This is the Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy, and I'm Henry Quinke today, and I have as my guest Bobby McMullen and Bobby's girlfriend, Heidi Souchard. Heidi, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, how you met this guy.
Well, I met Bobby through mountain biking. We had some mutual friends in common, and I had heard the legend of Bobby McMullen. It was about the time that one of his documentaries came out, and we ended up meeting up at a birthday party. We were actually inner tubing down the Truckee River, and I was so excited to finally meet him, and started talking, and he kind of put his claws in and never let go.
And that was it. Well, he told me earlier that you were parachuted directly from heaven, and so you have a lot of credibility already. I want to ask Bobby. He said that a lot of his formative years were led by a couple of saints, his parents. And Bobby, I wonder if you could relate to us, you know, how you view your parents and how dramatic effect they had on your life.
It's never in the past tense. My parents affect me every day that I put feet. You know, when I get up in the morning, and they truly are the kindest, most endearing people I've ever met, and I absolutely blame them for everything that I've become, and that they gave me a great background of everything from discipline to faith to a solid education and just the values that I have. You know, I do have a fundamental belief that there's right and wrong, and try to live that every day. And my parents taught me how to love and to be loved, and I can do both. And they taught me grace and humility. And I watched them teach thousands, if not more, people. They were both instructors at Central Valley High School for a long while. My dad, very, very well known and well liked and respected, as my mom was, and the school systems in Central Valley, and longtime teachers, and that work ethic of theirs, that openness to educate, I think certainly plays a role with me today, is that I never set out to be something other than just a hardworking guy who is honest and has impeccable integrity, which they gave me, but also the part of who I am, and with being a double organ transplant, as well as a visually impaired person, it's my job and to take the opportunity to educate people about not only what we can do as people, but who I am and what sometimes these conditions are involved to stay alive and live a quality life.
Bobby, we're really interested in getting into that specific detail that you're referring to in causing and wanting to promote inspiration to people. But, you know, our phone lines are lighting up, and we're going to take our first...
I'm afraid.
They're going to get even with you. we're going to take our first call from John. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
We're terrific. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Listen, I first of all, I want to say how much I am impressed by the fact that Bobby has accepted the challenges that he's faced in life and not let them defeat him, but rather it seems like he's used them for motivation to do other things and greater things. That being said, Bobby, can I ask you a couple questions?
Yes, sir, John. Thank you for the call, though, and thank you for your kind comments.
You're quite welcome. I don't think they're kind. I think they're true, and I'm impressed. It's very motivational to see somebody take something that is a challenge and move on it.
Thank
now,
you.
Now, here's my questions. I mean, and don't be offended by anything I got to say, but riding a bike visually impaired, I mean, how do you keep from bumping into things?
Oh, I still bump into things. That's usually a crash or two a day. I think the talent or the drive is to get back up like anything that knocks us down. And my choice is I love the bike. I'm very passionate, always have been. And I ride with a guide. I'm 20/1200 best corrected vision, and I see just out of my right eye.
Okay.
So I see some shapes and some shadows and light and a bit of color. And, for example, Heidi will ride in front of me, and it's a very simple format of communication. It's she doesn't tell me what's going on or what she sees around me. She tells me where to be, John, and she coaches my technique.
How to avoid vehicles and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Reading, I was born and raised in, real comfortable being around, and I was pretty adept at getting around town on my own. But out in the real world, I found out that I am limited. I do have my limitations. And, you know, on the trail and to race and to do what I do, it takes a team effort, and it really, like rally car driving.
Right.
Picture rally car driving on a bicycle, and she's yelling left, 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 right, 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 hard left, hard right, or stop. And
wow.
Since she is the person I love.
You have to be in tune with that, though, really
yeah,
in tune with that.
It becomes quite a dance. I like to call it a dance because there is rhythm, there is built-in rhythms you develop as people, and our levels of communication and styles are different.
Well, again, and this is the practical parts of this that really fascinate me.
Sure.
I mean, all surfaces are not level. You're going up and you're going down.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can tell you turn to the left and turn to the right, but that change of gravity due to the positioning of your body has got to be much more sensitive to you than other people.
It's something I developed and was taught to be neutral on my bike and to be prepared, and there are certain techniques I've become rote tore me in the way I physically ride a bike. And it is a very much a challenge, and it's commands like pull up for something maybe we drop off of or it gets steeper. They yell steep, steep. And they're very simple commands, and they can't tell me the degrees or what the terrain's like. They just give me a command that allows me to adjust my position and an awareness.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Have you always been visually impaired?
No, I lost my sight when I was 29 and I was in law school.
John, I really appreciate you calling and
asking
such terrific question. And we have to move on here. So thank you very much again for calling.
Thanks for giving me your time.
Absolutely. Oh,
cheers,
thank
care,
you.
Good luck in the future, Bobby.
Thank you, sir.
Bobby, I wonder if you can go in a little bit more detail about, you know, the diabetes situation and the transplants that you've had, dialysis, and those medical challenges, which are just absolutely enormous. Can you tell us about that, please?
Well, first and foremost, it's, you know, part of my life and who I am, and it was a matter of great support around me growing up. I was diagnosed a type 1 diabetic at age 12, and that's the genetic flaw type. And again, given a good foundation of care and support by my family and friends growing up. And it, you know, it takes its toll on people. And at 29, I developed a condition called proliferative diabetic retinopathy. And that's ultimately what changed my life dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And made a lot of transitions from law school. I decided, of course, the logical thing is become a ski racer on the U.S. Disabled Ski Team.
Of course.
You know, everybody does that.
Of course.
And amazing experiences there. But a couple years into that, actually, I had another diabetes-related complication. My kidneys failed and ended up on dialysis. And through the miracles of modern medicine and the gift and hindsight of a family, I ended up having two double organ transplants, kidney and pancreas, so I no longer...
How absolutely just remarkable. Bobby, we need to take another break right now, so we're going to come right back. Again, this is KCNR 1460 AM Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Neck, shoulder, or back pain? Did you know that acupuncture can help? The experts at Reading Acupuncture Healthcare can treat all these problems and so much more. Acupuncture is a virtually painless therapy that's been used in China for over 1,000 years. It stops pain by stimulating the production of pain-killing endorphins while improving blood flow to the area of pain. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare has 2 experienced acupuncturists with over 25 years of combined experience. Reading Acupuncture is the largest acupuncture clinic in Shasta County and offers the most extensive selection of Chinese herbs, teas, books, and aromatherapy products in their herbal pharmacy. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is conveniently open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays until 7 p.m. We also have Saturday appointments available for your convenience. If you or a loved one have pain that prevents you from enjoying life to the fullest, then call today for a free consultation at 223-2346. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is in the Raley's Cobblestone Shopping Center on Hartnell. Call today, 223-2346.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Reading restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Reading to find our website.
Welcome back to Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy, and we are interviewing Bobby McMullen and his guest, Heidi. And Bob, Heidi, you know, Bobby is telling us about the medical challenges that he had during his life and that they were life-changing events to his heart and soul. It's pretty obvious. How is it that you hook up to a guy like this?
Well, it's pretty interesting. When I first met Bobby, you know, I was like, oh, here's this really interesting guy, but he has a disability. I've never really been around somebody with a disability. And I learned pretty quickly that he's just a regular guy, a pretty spectacular regular guy. But you forget about it. I, you know, modified my actions, my way of life, just to give him a little bit more direction and help out. But it all becomes pretty seamless.
And it's obviously, it's an equal situation between you two. But Bobby, what is the essence of what fuels you?
Well, with Heidi is if we have heated discussions and then we go out and ride, I have to be very careful because the lefts and rights get a bit ambiguous if I've on the wrong end of an argument and the lefts and rights.
You mean she takes a left and she tells you to go right?
Yeah, but I say that very tongue-in-cheek. What drives anybody? I think that all of us have the opportunity and have it in us to be motivated and to make these choices in our life. And I go back on my foundation of having a great base and to be able to make choices for myself. And despite the medical complications and yet my drive to move on, again, I got from the people I surrounded myself with and again, the support of someone like Heidi, like you, like Redding, that never said, you can't. Never said, you know, I've been driven to do is that, you know, I had a lifestyle I wanted, and that was to be active, be outdoors, be productive member of our society. Be a good guy, right?
Right.
And lead a good life with grace and integrity and honesty. And
beautiful words.
Thank you. And
yeah,
it's
beautiful
and,
words.
And they those words are just rote in my head every day because of the gifts I've given. And I have, at this point in my life, an incredible responsibility to, we talked about educating people, that, you know what? Have you ever seen a blind? People are amazed at what I do, but have you ever seen a blind dog? Oh my gosh, they're incredible! They run into stuff and keep moving. I'm like, man, I want to be like that. But also, I have not only had just one double organ transplant, but I've had two, and I'm alive today because of, be it known to them or their family or not, someone had the hindsight to donate some organs.
Right.
And I have that responsibility burned in me, etched in me every day, is wow. that to live.
Right.
And to, they want me, that person, that family wants me to live my life and be of quality, be right. of, not necessity, but be of quality and a positive influence in life, to be that good guy, to have integrity, to have grace, mm-hmm. and to lead life. For me, it's got to be at 110%. Right. And that's probably where we Heidi all... and you guys sense this whole, dude, you're a complete spastic. You're always just wound up and going. Are you like this all the time? I am. Because
yeah.
I'm not going to lay down and go quietly. I will milk every day I can.
What a blessing.
Thank you.
Absolutely blessing. Bobby, I know that you met with President Bill Clinton.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if you could tell us how all that came about.
I was a member of the 1998 Paralympic team, the disabled athletes with physical challenges, Nagano Olympic team, and skied four events in Nagano. And we had the opportunity, along with the U.S. Olympic team in 1998, to go to Washington. And we got to meet with the House of Reps, the Senate, have lunch with a number of our nation's leaders. And at the time, it was Bill Clinton. It was quite an honor.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
And people, I just find it incredibly comical. And, whatever your political stance is and where you are today or back then, you know, I'll have people like, oh, I can't believe you shook his hand. And I laugh. My first response is, really? Because I shook the hand with a president. I shook a hand with the office of the president. And whether you like the president or not, it is our highest office. And it is arguably the most powerful person on the planet. In our country, I believe in. I am a patriot. And I had the chance to actually spend a couple minutes with President Bill Clinton. And people like, oh, I can't believe it. And I'm like, I'll look everybody eye to eye, go nose to nose, and go, tell me you wouldn't shake a president's hand. Not whether you like Obama or you liked any of our presidents in the past. It's that, you know what? We want respect in our lives for what we do.
Right.
And what we achieve. We don't succeed all the time now, do we? But we want to be saluted for it when we are. And we want to be taught how to improve. And that office has huge responsibilities and huge consequences, and it was an honor.
You know, hearing you explain this situation really gets back to the fundamental things that that you said that you learned from your parents, which is, you know, basic grace and integrity. And so I can see that your life is just so thoroughly ingrained with this basic principle, philosophy, and integrity in everything that you do, and which is just so refreshing to hear this. Bobby, what is it that you think that our listeners would be surprised to learn about you?
Probably not a surprise, but no, I am not perfect. I'm incredibly flawed, and I make mistakes every day of my life. And, you know, everybody has the old adage that, well, you got to learn from. Well, we're always learning. We may not get older, but we always have the chance to get wiser. I like if there's an underlying theme, it's that, you know, life is for everybody. And I don't know what everybody's faith bases are, but I know that if this is heaven, I'm going to make the best of it every day, and I'm going to enjoy the people that are around me and the things I have in my life around me, despite obstacles that we all face. They're all relative. I've had some physical challenges, but I've been gifted with an amazing upbringing and amazing people to this day and amazing opportunities to do what I do. And life is for everybody, and it's not if something is going to change in your life. It's going to happen, and I heard a long time ago, it's not what happens to you, it's what you do with it. And I can only hope that, you know, people, when faced with a challenge, and challenges are good, change is good. And I'm not going to jump on a soapbox and go, embrace it and push for it. It's just, it's going to happen. You don't have to try.
Right.
And if we put things in perspective, that we understand what is tragic, what is heartfelt, what is loss, compared to those everyday incidental things that we've seemed to find ourselves so caught up in, from a relationship at home or at work or at school, that can be easily resolved with a conversation, a handshake, and a smile. these are the things I think we can grow from, be it an athletic endeavor like myself or a professional endeavor, personal endeavor. Risks on ourselves are good. Mm-hmm. It's just life is here to live. And wherever you are at, whatever you're doing, give it. If you're given 75% every day, give it 80. What a world we'd have if we gave 100%. And we know that's not feasible, but come on. Right. What a good place it would be if we gave 10% more what we're doing.
Very well said, and very, very inspirational. And quite honestly, the show is created specifically for people like yourself that cause so much good and reflection and inspiration for all of us. Bobby and Heidi, I appreciate very much both of you coming into our show. And we're going to move on to our next guest. And again, this is KCNR 1460 AM Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. And we're going to be back.
Hi, I'm Amy Rogers. I'm a certified massage therapist with a bachelor's degree in kinesiology. I've worked with a broad spectrum of clients that have a variety of needs. I like to help people get rid of their physical pain so they can enjoy their lives. You can find me at Dr. Trudy Pratt's office at 244-7873. Most insurance is accepted. Number again is 244-7873. Let this be the year that you care for yourself.
She entertained troops around the world with Bob Hope in the USO tour. Now Jan Daly will entertain you at the Cascade Theater on a benefit concert for the Shasta Family Justice Center. Bank of Commerce Reading is presenting Jan Daly September 9th at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale now at the Cascade Theater and online at ShastaFJC.org. Media sponsors include Results Radio, KCNR, The Record Searchlight, and WE Multimedia.
Hello, Melinda Brown here for People of Progress with a great way to help yourself while you help your community. It's simple. Buy just one shirt or a book or even a knickknack from People of Progress's Super Thrift Shop. This instantly makes five important things happen. You'll pick up great stuff at great prices. You'll help People of Progress's Food Bank and Resource Center stay open so we can serve 16,000 people this year with 240,000 meals, clothing, blankets, and community gardens. And you'll reuse and repurpose items, which saves energy, natural resources, and space in the landfill. So check us out in person at the Pop Thrift Shop in downtown Reading and bring a friend to help you choose from literally thousands of high quality items. All proceeds stay local to help your local community. So shop Pop. We're open Monday through Saturday in downtown Reading. Our motto is do what you can with what you have where you are. With this community's help, we've served homeless and hungry people in Shasta County for 40 years. With your help, we can continue to do so. Buy a shirt, shop Pop.
Welcome back to the Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy. And I'm Henry Cuenca, and our second guest today, some of you listeners may find it a little baffling, others intrigued, and others, like myself, may find her as the essence of altruism and totally inspirational as well. You see, Emily Kunesson is a professional organizer, works with members of society who have fallen through the social cracks. She is an educated lady, works 24/7, 7/7, for nothing. Nothing. She is fueled by a deep passion to help the needy. Emily, welcome to today's show.
Thank you very much for having me. That was a very inspirational welcoming. Thank you.
Well, Emily, I think I'm going to turn things around a little bit here. I'd like for you to right off the bat tell us about the organization that you head up and what you do and how you're structured and those kind of things. Mm-hmm.
I'm an operations manager for the Western Service Workers Association, and it's volunteer run. We're open 7 days a week and until 9 o'clock at night. And we like to say poverty doesn't sleep, so that's why we're there every day. And what we do is organize low-paid workers and people that are just low-income in general that, you know, more than even falling through the cracks, they're, you know, making an income but falling through the cracks every day, which is basic survival. They don't have the wages they need to live on. So what we do is organize people in the community through a membership association, and telling people, you know, things can change and poverty doesn't have to exist when we're in the richest country in the world. But it takes our approach is to organize and involve the people that are most affected by that problem. So primarily domestic workers, service workers, you know, people that do incredibly important work for our community in cooking and cleaning. But
how many constituents or how many members do you reach out to and serve?
Well, we've been here for 30 years in the community, all volunteer run, and so we have thousands and thousands of members that we've signed up, and you know, it's most people you know in the community that we meet are generally pretty low income. It's 60% of the available jobs in this community are low pay, and actually minimum wage, and so if you're making $1,000 a month, which that's pretty much what you get on minimum wage, that means you're living in poverty, essentially, because the cost of living and everything else with just basics like food and gas and healthcare mm-hmm. are way above that. So every day we're signing up more and more people, especially.
And I would say with the economics, the way that they have been the last couple of years, that right. that you're seeing more and more people that are in desperate need of the services that you provide.
Right. It's really been, people have had these problems for decades, but just in the last few years, you know, with especially the what they call the jobless recovery, people are still, you know, it's about 17% unemployment here, and that's just officially. So we have a lot of people that come in.
It's probably upwards of 20, right?
Well, more than that, yeah. Uh-huh. We find when we canvass in low-income neighborhoods, and we find generally 1 in 3 people is unemployed or even higher.
Really?
Because they're not counted. And so... I was just reading in the newspaper the other day that there's 15 million kids that are on food stamps every month, and it's gone up 60% in the last 10 years.
That's remarkable. Mm-hmm. Emily, we're going to come back to this, but I want to know a little bit about you, where you're from, and not from Reading, you're from out of the area, but you were born where?
I was born in the East Bay area. Mm-hmm. In a little town called Pleasant Hill.
Oh, I know where Pleasant Hill is. I think everybody does, right? Traveling through the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And you were born by two parents. And what type of occupations did your parents have?
Well, my parents are working class people. My mom worked for the county and for the library for about 30 years and worked very, very hard. And she worked for the children's services, so I was able to learn about a lot of the, you know, kids with very severe physical disabilities that she would see falling through the cracks as well. And my dad was a manager of a department at Safeway.
Mm-hmm.
And so both of them were working, and that was another thing as I was growing up was looking and seeing the struggles of working families. Mm-hmm. And even with
What better perspective could you get, right?
Right. Yeah. They struggled. Mm-hmm. And as much as they would, you know, try to, you know, make sure that me and my sister were not affected. You know, we
so you
knew
had,
that
you
it
have
was a struggle.
One sister?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And is she still in the area?
No, she lives in the Bay Area.
Uh-huh. And what type of vocation has she chosen?
Well, she's a teacher. Mm-hmm. And that, yet again, I mean, so much of what we deal with is... people needing more assistance than they're getting, and she sees this firsthand with budget cuts and
sure.
more kids
right.
than you
Absolutely.
Can handle, and
oh, yeah.
and the kids, and so many of our members coming with problems with foreclosure, and you know can't even think about
right.
you know pursuing an education because mm-hmm. their family is so affected by poverty. So
you know, Emily, it sounds like your early years. Your early years, your childhood years, you picked up a sense of help, right? It sounds like you took a little bit of the things that you learned from your mother and your father, the experiences that you endured that kind of set the stage for you to be doing the kinds of things that you're doing. What childhood memories would you have specifically that you feel really planted a seed to what you're doing right now?
Well, there's many things just over time. I mean, I didn't have any one particular event. It was just coming to an understanding through time and seeing people in poverty, you know, visiting. My mom used to take us and we would visit a homeless man at the same place every single month.
Really?
And, you know, and I just wondered why did that have to exist? And then, you know, came to understand and that it doesn't have to exist. And many homeless people are working.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to certainly talk more about that, but we need to take a break. And so we'll be right back. This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Orchard Nutrition Center. For 30 years, our family-owned business has been Redding's premier choice for health foods, produce, bulk foods, and the best nutritional supplements. We pride ourselves on offering many locally produced foods. Our products are good for you and easy on your pocketbook. Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust in the Cypress Shopping Center, open every day, 8 to 9.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Welcome back to the Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, and this is Henry Cuenca, and I'm interviewing Emily Cunison. And Emily, you were telling us that the seed of understanding poverty was really set at the younger ages by your mother going out, or your family going out and feeding a homeless person for a whole year. And that's a very striking thing, and it's really a good way to learn about poverty, right? Probably the only way to learn.
Yeah.
Truly learn it. You decided at some point to go on to school. And what were the ingredients that caused you to want to go get an education?
Well, throughout my life, I was, thinking, how do I get to the root cause of these problems? And how is everything connected together? So I studied communications, and I graduated from Sac State a few years back. And most of what I learned through college was, how people have much more in common than they have different. And people get so divided amongst each other, and that keeps people from being able to unite and really look at, wait, we're all, affected by the same economic conditions. We're all struggling together, but we need to be able to organize together. And so education is a lot of what we do, but most of the approach that I take, at Western Service Workers, our approach to dealing with those problems is to get people together through their own experience. Mm-hmm. And, face to face, arm's length, so people can see what are the problems.
So you went to college, basically. You had pretty much known what you wanted to do. Went to college to learn about communication and relating to poverty on a different level. And did you have experiences in college that fortified your basic desire to want to help the poor?
Mostly, I knew, like you said, what the problems were, but I didn't know what I could do about it. Mm-hmm. And so there was nothing really. When I left college, I really didn't know what could be done about it. I knew that I wanted to do something deeper, mm-hmm, to impact the larger societal problems that we had. But until I met the organization and someone, offered, well, you can do full-time organizing, mm-hmm, and I got involved and actually saw firsthand some of the problems. And
can you share with us some of your normal daily experiences, mm-hmm, with people that you serve?
Yeah, and just to back up for a second, as far as what we do, because I didn't explain, we have a benefit program, and this is a lot of how we deal with and relate to people's problems is through trying to access medical care. We have doctors and dentists and attorneys that we go out in the community to organize, because people come to us and they have, no access to those things. They're not qualified for assistance.
By not qualified for assistance, that means what?
Well, one example, just to answer your question about examples, it We have a member, I mean, constantly every day we're dealing with people getting denied access to care. We have a member that needs a breathing machine. She needs oxygen. She's got a prescription from the doctor that says you need to, you know, be on this machine at night. Otherwise, you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain and you're going to possibly pass away. But she can't afford it. And the program here for the medically indigent for low-income Medi-Cal says that she makes too much money to qualify, and she has to pay $400 extra a month, and she doesn't even have enough money for her utility bill. So she's currently, you know, borrowing an oxygen machine from a friend temporarily, and the thing that we, you know, see is a lot of the policies are really kind of institutionalizing poverty and leaving out millions and millions of people.
Very good point. Very good point.
And so what, you know, the main principle that we take with our organizing is to involve those people and involve the people that are most affected by that problem, because they know, you know, who knows better than the people that are hungry how to solve hunger.
Sure, like yourself.
But they just don't have an organization.
So you have a cadre of medical folks and dentists and legal staff that that are part of your pro bono, I presume, reach out and assist individuals that you bring to the to the fold, right?
Yeah, we have, and we've, as you said, with the economy the way it is, we've actually been able to expand. In the last couple of years, we've gotten new dentists and new doctors, and they do donate their time 100%. No one gets paid at the organization, and they recognize that unless the people that, you know, are at the bottom of our economy, the service workers and people that pick food, unless they can survive, you know, someone's got to pick the food, someone's got to clean the hospitals. Then no one can survive.
Right.
So they kind of join with us.
And you have offices here in Reading?
Yeah, we have an office. We've been here. We're celebrating our 34th anniversary.
Wow.
We've been in Reading for that long in Shasta County.
Wow, a lot of people are going to be surprised about that. 34 years. That's a long time. Wow.
Yeah, it says a lot about the community that that people will step up, because we take solely community support. We have no government funds. It's just completely through donations. And churches and campuses and college students and everyone in the community joining together behind the people that are the lowest paid to fight poverty. So anyone, you know, I tell everyone, you know, think about full-time organizing. It's very fulfilling. It's the most important thing that I've ever done with my life. And it's more than a career. It's something that I do because I want to be here.
A passion, maybe.
Yeah. And a responsibility.
Emily, you are obviously a very intelligent lady, and I want to restate the fact that that you don't have a salary, you don't have 401k,
right.
You don't have dental insurance, you don't have vacation pay, you don't have a stipend, you don't have a car that's given to you, and you essentially work 24/7, which you have to. My guess is that your mind is always working. Is that right? What do you think about first thing when you wake up in the morning?
Well, I think about what I have to do, how I'm going to get involved more
you
people.
You do sleep, right?
I do. You know, that, and that's also part of what they say about people being able to address their problems. You have to be able to survive in order to fight. So, yeah, you have to sleep. And people, that's part of why we have our benefit program, is so people can get food and clothing and survive in order
Tell us a little bit more about that benefit program.
Yeah, well, it's The main thing is it's self-help, and the people, our members that are the working poor, essentially, they're organizing it. And through that, they really, the whole idea is they're building a voice. And we take on things like advocacy when people get their hours of in-home care cut. There's a program in the state called In-Home Support Services, and it's critical care for elderly, blind, and disabled in their home. So they can, you know, as Bobby, I'm sure, is aware, you know, people need help at home if they can't see or if they can't get around. And so the work is very low paid, and a lot of our members do in-home support services, and many people right now are not getting enough hours of care. And so we've had to do advocacy to fight for what people need and really what they have a right to. And then through that process, our members have actually been able to, you know, affect a larger changes. Because the state this year was going to be cutting that program by about 600.
Right. Yeah. Emily, we're going to be right back. We need to take a break. But when we come back, you know, I think that we'd like to get a little bit inside your heart and see how that works. So welcome back. We'll be back after this break.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
Hi, I'm Robert from Music by Robert. Getting married? Having a special party, birthday, or anniversary? Let me take it from ordinary to extraordinary. A huge music library, the latest state-of-the-art equipment, and lighting that will dazzle you. You know it's a real celebration when you hire Music by Robert. Call 347-4500. Remember, when only the best will do, it's Music by Robert. Call 347-4500 and let's celebrate.
If you're concerned about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution, then join Elizabeth and Aaron on Sunday mornings for We the People, 8 to 10 a.m. on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Our expert guests cover everything from private property rights to how our local government can impact your life. Don't miss out on the wealth of knowledge on We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. America.
Ray, technician from Safe Light Auto Glass.
A chip is 1,000 micro cracks waiting to spread. One big bump and crack. We'll have to replace the whole windshield. But not if we repair the chip first with Safe Light's exclusive resin. It bonds stronger and lasts longer than other resins. And we guarantee it for life. Plus, with most insurance plans, it's no cost to you.
Call 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelight.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca, and I am interviewing Emily Kunison. Emily, I wanted to ask you. I mean, we got to be realistic, right? You've explained your organization. We know why you do these things, but you don't receive any pay, right?
Right.
So how do you survive without any pay?
Well, I do. I mean, I don't get paid, but I do survive. And
you look pretty good, actually.
Well, but the for me, first number one is, looking at the goal. I mean, I'm not employed. Yeah, I don't get a salary. The organizers they're provided with the same benefit program that's available for our members. So we have donated food and donated clothing, and volunteer doctors that can be seen. And I actually feel, by being a part of an organization, I'm much better off than many other people, unfortunately, out there that have
you
no
undoubtedly
access.
Are. Yeah, you undoubtedly are.
Yeah, they have no way to deal with their problems. And mm-hmm. That's why we're constantly, we canvass weekly in the low-income neighborhoods to find people that think they have no options.
When it's 110 outside, huh?
Even more so at that time.
Yeah, probably so.
We have a lot of people that are getting their utilities shut off. They also don't know what they can do, and you can't survive without...
No, you can't. Not in this extreme climate. Emily, you had said that your payment in all this is really an emotional payment, a gratification. I don't know. I think that was the word you used. Tell us how you're gratified and fulfilled in doing the things that you're doing.
Well, and every day, I mean, just to be a part of an organization that's growing, we have sister efforts throughout the country. Because obviously poverty is not just here in Shasta and Tehama County where we organize, but more and more people are living in poverty conditions when they're working. And so, that's very inspiring to see more people getting involved, and especially the people that are struggling the most and have the least, and they have the most difficult work, picking mm-hmm. food in the heat and cooking and cleaning and doing hard, domestic work that's critical. And yet those are the ones that are building the organization, and mm-hmm. it's theirs. And that's the most inspiring thing for me, is to involve those people that are most affected by the problem. And mm-hmm. I learned more through our members that have much less education, quote unquote, than I do, than I ever learned in college.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Just so inspirational to know that. And I think that everybody in our community really should
be thanking you and your organization and all the members and all the people that help you put this together, the doctors and the attorneys, really are happy. Because what would happen if your facility closed its doors? You'd have thousands of people, mm-hmm. right? That would be turned away.
Right.
So you're definitely filling an enormous, important, critical social need. And you must sleep very well at night.
Well, I can't say that, but there's so much warm work to do.
Right.
We meet very little of the need in relation to what's really needed in the county through our benefit program. But
What are your biggest needs?
Well, our biggest, number one, is volunteers. The biggest thing that we need is people that can get involved. We use a method called on-the-job training, and that enables anyone. You don't have to have any skills. You know, I don't play music. I don't have any special skills at all, and that's the biggest thing I like about this organization is anyone can do it, and you learn through one person that has a skill, passing it along and training those, the next people to come along, and that allows people that have no education, sometimes don't even know how to read, mm-hmm. to then organize and build a medical benefit and mm-hmm. really make systemic change.
For people that want to reach out to you, and how would they get a hold of you?
Our office, it's open 7 days a week, so we have a phone number, and I can give that out right now. It's 530-244-0968, and we urgently need more people that can volunteer. We do utility advocacy. We've got a case right now where someone has their utility shut off for a month, and she's diabetic.
Oh, boy.
And her medicine went bad. She's having seizures, and, you know, advocates are needed to try to do, you know, overcome the city. Electric utility is denying her payment plan. And that's constantly what we're coming up against is people need an organization. So volunteers learn how to do that. And they learn how to do medical sessions with doctors and drive people to appointments, do mail outs. Volunteers run our office every single day. Mm-hmm. So if people, yeah, again, the number is 530-244-0968. Mm-hmm. And we have an upcoming, there's a couple things right now that we're currently working on with an anniversary dinner. Would you like me to talk about that?
Right? Sure, okay. Certainly, absolutely. This is your show.
Okay. I appreciate the opportunity to be here because we do need many more people. We're very, very busy, but we're celebrating. We have a 34th anniversary dinner coming up on August 21st, which is next Sunday. So it's a way for, you know, our doctors and our dentists and teachers and supporters to come and then meet, you know, our members that they may not see on a regular basis, you know, domestic workers and service workers, and people get to come together, and it really builds that unity where people see, again, we have more in common mm-hmm. Than different. And so, and then we thank people, you know, volunteers that are inspiring because they've donated their time, and we get an opportunity to thank them. And it's a dinner, and most importantly, we have fun and we have entertainment. Mm-hmm. And so that's August 21st at 5. So we need crews of people that can help with that dinner. Mm-hmm. And we're also, through that dinner, we're working on a back-to-school campaign mm-hmm. because it includes backpacks and clothing for participating members. We have a benefit plan, too, where people that know that they're not going to be able to afford the clothing for their kids and the holiday supplies sign up in advance and then participate and learn the organizing skills to organize those resources mm-hmm. and build a stronger organization through that. So we have a distribution coming up August 27th, and we have about 40 families that we're trying to fill requests for, but we don't.
What kind of things are you trying to fulfill?
Thank you. We need backpacks and school supplies. There's a whole laundry list that families get from the schools that often they can't afford. Mm-hmm. So paper, pens, any kind of school supplies, and then new or like new clothing. Mm-hmm. And it's a self-help program, so our members are, you know, really the ones that are organizing it. And we have many requests right now that we haven't filled. So anyone that can come in and volunteer on it or donate supplies. We urgently need that.
And again, anybody that wants to donate or touch your organization or discuss potential involvement, they'll call you at your number. And can you repeat that again one more time?
Yes, it's 530-244-0968.
Well, Emily, it's just a true inspiration. Cut off. True inspiration to have you here. And again, we thank you and wish you continued success.
Thank you very much, Henry, for the opportunity. Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Brady. He's finally in.
It is time to get America working again, and that's why, with the support of my family and unwavering belief in the goodness of America, I declare to you today as a candidate for President of the United States.
Texas Governor Rick Perry, after months of speculation, with the announcement in South Carolina, calling President Obama's leadership rudderless, saying we can't afford four more years of it.
Well, Mr. President, let us tell you something. You cannot win the future by selling America off to foreign creditors.
A spokesman for President Obama's reelection campaign firing off a statement saying the Republican field has already, quote, pledged allegiance to the Tea Party and that Perry offers more of the same. Governor Perry immediately hits the campaign trail, heading first to New Hampshire and then to Iowa, where nine other Republican candidates are on the first 2012 ballot today. In the Iowa straw poll, Fox News Radio's Rich Johnson is live in Ames.
And Lisa, it is a very huge day for a lot of those candidates. This according to a man who felt those butterflies 4 years ago, former Arkansas governor, now Fox News commentator Mike Huckabee.
It's a very, very critical day for a number of the candidates who